This is episode 1F12, Lisa versus Malibu Stacy. Original air date, February 17th, 1994. I'm Bill Oakley, one of the writers on this episode.
I'm Josh Weinstein, the other writer.
David Silverman here, supervising director.
David Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
Cartoonist Matt Groening.
And my favorite of the couch gags, the little tip of the hat to Monty Python.
I asked for that because Monty Python was such a huge influence on me.
You know, healthcare for the
majorly in my writing, one of the big, giant explosions in my writing was watching Python back in the early 70s. And Eric Idle has since done the show.
Yes.
And is a lovely man and a good friend. And so there's a shout-out to Eric.
You know, when I was in high school, I got the LPs. This is before the show was broadcast over in the United States. And fell in love with them. And then I went to England and bought their books in 73. At my college, I had the movie, and now for something completely different. I got a print of it, and we showed it at the school. And because people weren't prepped for it, they sat there in stunned silence. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. And then, like, a year later, when people realized, oh, this was the hippest thing in the world, then they got on board and realized that.
So you can see that Monty Python, an influence on The Simpsons, an influence on Matt, an influence on all comedy and a user. There's a lot to say about what they did with their albums and the way they made fun of the media. The way we make fun of the media in the show is very similar.
It really was sort of the first of modern comedy.
Yeah,
in a way.
Absolutely brilliant. Huge, huge, huge influence on Saturday Night Live. If you don't know that,
David Letterman, I'd say.
Really, really defined it. And they give a lot of credit to the Goon Show, going back to the Goons. But the fact that Python played with the media, their albums were brilliant. They had three-sided albums and albums that had wrong labels on them. They just didn't take anything seriously, and that has influenced this show.
That three-sided record, I thought I had gone crazy when I got that. I didn't know what was going on. The record was playing a different... It was crazy. I actually literally took aspirin and laid down, and I was like, well, I didn't know what was going on. I thought I had lost my mind.
I think it's one of the most brilliant concepts ever, which was an album back in the days when you dropped a needle on an album. I had it for about 2 weeks, and I had been listening to one side and then the other side, and you could never tell which side because both sides said side two, so that was screwing with you in a way. And then one day I put the needle down, and I heard material I never heard before, and it was the freakiest, most amazing thing. And Eric told me that the whole way they came up with that album, this used to be a horse race album. Record, and it would depend on where you dropped the needle about which horse won.
Oh.
And that's where they got the idea to do that brilliant thing. And their books were hilarious, all that stuff. But anyway, talking about this episode, you can see Bill and Josh's obsession with Matlock in the beginning. We're well past that. But they're also their obsession with old people.
We both love them and seem to really hate them at the same time.
I think this episode definitely pushes your limits of Grandpa, what you're willing to accept.
Though he's very funny. You know, I think that even though he's doing all these complaints, and it's very difficult to write this well, which is somebody being boring and tedious without making them boring and tedious, but also making it funny. But what he said was actually funny in the context of the boring and tedium. So that's a big challenge, and Bill and Josh pulled it off very well. I love that. I love
that was
the dangerous toy.
Jeff Lynch couldn't be here to help us with his commentary.
Did we say he directed this already?
No, we did not.
Okay, he's the director.
Fantastic.
Did a fantastic job. I love how much Grandpa had to work to break that rocket to show there was nothing wrong with it.
I also like the footsteps coming in and then revealing that it's the security guys. Great reveal. Here we have a little tribute to Big. And the angles are the same as they are the movie.
How did it work? Did Big take this from us, or...?
Possibly.
Yeah, okay.
They steal everything.
Yeah.
Penny Marshall is always stealing from us.
This is a great twist on it that everybody gathers around and then they're horrified. And I love how he breaks it. I love that it's all cracked and broken. Thank you. And Homer doesn't even understand that it didn't
He's
go well.
Very happy.
He just assumes it had to be like in the movie.
Like everything else.
Malibu Stacy appeared many times before this. That was the name of Lisa's doll, and it was one of those things where we were trying to come up with an episode going through things in the universe. And previously we did this episode called Duffless about the Duff plant and the Duff company. This was inspired basically by just sort of rotating the dial and saying, here's another company, another type of episode. But around this time, there had been a lot of controversy about a talking Barbie that had come out and was saying kind of sexist phrases. And there was a group called the Barbie Liberation Front that actually stole G.I. Joe's and put the G.I. Joe voice box in the Barbies to sort of show, illustrate how sexist this was. You'll see that there's a Spider-Man joke about that later, but we thought it fit perfectly with Lisa at that point. And hilariously, society, including Fox, didn't seem that interested in a feminist screed. Lisa's feminist screed, because what happened was when they put the TV Guide ad, and this episode is a very sincere, you know, a feminist thing, and when they put the ad in TV Guide, Fox said, Springfield gets a sexy new doll, and it had a picture of Bart looking up the doll's dress, which in so many ways
it was supposed to be a sexist new doll.
A sexist new doll. I realize people wouldn't watch probably to see a sexist new doll, but that ad is literally illustrating everything that this episode is criticizing.
You're watching Fox.
That's Fox. That is Fox. It's really every network. The people who advertise the shows have nothing to do with the people that make them, and we're often at odds. And they don't really care if they're really advertising the content. There's no, that fell apart, you know, over 10 years ago, where they just don't care. They'll completely take what it is they think will sell and have no trouble tricking the audience and lying to the audience to get them to watch.
It's also because they choose to say, well, we have to emphasize Bart or Homer, and they always miss out on the great other characters that are here.
Well, in their defense, I don't know how many people would have tuned in to see Lisa's feminist talk.
Hear Lisa complain. Yeah, no, it's really true. You know, and again, that's sort of what's fun about this episode is that on its surface, its description sounds kind of tedious. It sounds preachy, but in watching it, it's nothing but fun. You know, another thing that we do on The Simpsons that's very important, we make as much fun of the people who, you know, have a good point, let's say, if we consider it a good point, as the people who are idiots. So we basically say everyone's an idiot on the show, including Lisa. You know, we make fun and tease everything. So that's why we're able to put everybody down equally.
Another thing about this, at this point, my wife, Rachel, was a Barbie collector, vintage Barbie collector. So I was spending a lot of time going to Barbie conventions all over the country and meeting the people in the Barbie. Okay, this is obviously supposed to be Barbie, Malibu Stacy, in case you didn't know that.
We'll be able to edit that out.
So I got to know the culture and also the collectors, some of the most prominent Barbie collectors, on whom you'll see later, Waylon Smithers, the world's most famous Malibu Stacy collector, on whom they are based.
Just what I was going to say.
Your wife's collection is astounding.
She doesn't have the collection anymore. That was
what?
Passing.
Did she sell it?
Yeah, she sold some of it off. She still has about half of it.
But she had the pre-Barbie, that German
thing. She had the Bill
Billy. I wish
she would
have called me when she was selling it. That's one of my favorite jokes of all times is Grandpa yelling he feels young and then hitting a rock and falling into an open grave. Yes, that's about as good as it gets for me.
It's great comedy.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with what my Stacy says.
Here
that's
it is.
That's the Spider-Man.
I love the way that we give kind of the goofy girl got the bad doll. Not only does she have a little bit
of
problems.
I like that goofy character. We should
Celeste, yeah, I don't think she's ever appeared again.
They cannot keep making dolls like this. Something has to be done.
Lisa's that's pretty vegetarian. Look, she's got meat on her face.
That's right.
This is before Lisa became a vegetarian. That's right.
Ordinarily, I'd say you should stand up for what you believe.
That's a whole other season.
I think next one.
Next one or the one? I can't remember if it fell over in the one after.
It was Fox, because they own those chemical weapon plants in Syria.
Of course Fox doesn't really own
that
chemical
was later
weapons
proven
plants.
To be
that's right. Fox
Syria.
Only owns chemical plants in Iran now.
That's right.
And the Sudan, there's a biological weapons plant
there's
in the Sudan now.
It's
and
amazing.
Nothing in
milk
Syria,
factory.
We swear.
Oh, strawberry ice cream.
You can often see how happy I was feeling about Fox to see how many shots we took at them. I was surprised, like, when they jumped on the bug and everything, that Fox didn't complain about that.
No.
They didn't.
I don't recall a single time. I mean, I think that they like that they're made fun of, you know.
Some people there do, and others...
I remember when we had Rupert Murdoch in prison in an episode in
Everybody
season 7.
Up to him was very
they
upset
were terrified
about
of showing that, and someone had to run down the hall and ask him, and he said he'd be honored to be in prison on The Simpsons.
There you go. And Rupert did the show, and he was great, and he was really great. He was
it's
a great
It says a lesson
sport.
To kids, don't be afraid to make fun of people.
That's right. Powerful
Particularly
people.
Particularly authority figures, right. Like your own principal.
Welcome to Enchantment.
And the current administration loves it. This is said back in the Bush days.
Second Bush
days. Fairy dust in the air. I love this.
Yeah.
I know there's a great performance by Hank.
Is a clog in the toilet.
That's Hank.
Shut your hole.
And that's Dan saying, "Shut your hole." I love the way they all come out. They sort of just let him go. This is one of the Simpsons little info movies.
Many, many info movies later.
And that's Hank again doing the announcer.
Mass market a fashion doll that was also edible. Kids didn't much like the taste of dried onion meal.
Dried onion meal is very...
That's very good.
He took America by storm. Just ask the owner of the world.
And here's the introduction of Smithers, and obviously further pushing, our concept of his sexuality in a subtle way.
What are you talking about? Based on reality.
And what does Stacy think of her 35?
That con was not at San Diego. It was in Charlotte, North Carolina. I attended.
So was the greatest collector a man? It was a man?
There's, well, there's a guy. I shouldn't get into it.
All right.
Well. That's the tour. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
I have one.
Yes?
Is the remark to be sexist dribble spouted by Malibu Stacy intentional, or is it just a horrible mistake?
I like Lisa's anger towards
it. They should have used that as the promo.
Yes. That would get people watching.
Grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Oh, you get away.
I don't like you don't like it.
I love the performance there. It's really
that's
nice.
A great
I like the closing
too.
The door.
Closing the door with her butt, and great interaction with the actors there.
No one listens to you.
It's rotten being old. No one listens to you. I'm a white male, 18 to 49. Everyone listens to me, no matter how dumb my suggestions are.
Truer words were never spoken.
And by the way, The Simpsons Nuts and Gum together continue to sell great. It's one of the
very
best
good.
Food products we have.
The Talking
enough.
Simpsons Nuts and Gum is...
Just in case, everyone knows this now. It used to be much more inside that 18 to 49 is a prime demographic group that everyone's always interested in what they think and always tries to make TV shows for them. And we're always victimized by that because they think that has to limit what you write, and it doesn't. But, you get a lot of pressure from the networks that way.
Mayday! I'm losing your transmission!
I said French fries!
What the? Do we sell French
fries? More nasty old people jokes.
Absolutely.
Well, old people didn't watch the show, so, to hell with them. They were too busy watching Matlock, which was on at this time, and then they got touched by an angel on that slot, and they watched that.
That's why we started to put Matlock on so much. We were trying to fool them into thinking, well, he's on this one as much as the other, so why not?
It's a great design, by the way.
I'm writing an article on her for my next
of his apartment.
I love what he's wearing, too.
Yeah.
It's just great to see Smithers like that.
Yeah.
I love that early 90s computer.
Yeah. Here we
and
go.
This is,
You're quite good at turning me on.
I love the way it's been edited together.
Probably should ignore that.
Now, Recluse Ranch Estates, until I saw this episode yesterday, I thought it still had that scene with Thomas Pynchon. You remember that scene that was in here?
I do.
It was animated. There were famous recluses,
yeah.
Thomas Pynchon, J.D. Salinger, and Salman Rushdie driving around in this souped-up Jeep, and they were talking about going to eat at El Torito.
That's right.
And I guess that cut out.
Maybe we could put that on the DVD if we can locate.
Dig it up somewhere.
And, we had Thomas Pynchon.
Yeah,
no.
He's
on the show.
Done the show
twice.
Since then.
Twice. He loves it.
You can't get rid of him. He's always hanging outside the gate.
I want you to hear what Malibu...
Yeah, this voice is Kathleen Turner.
He looks exactly like Lenny, by the way.
Thinking too much.
No.
Yeah, and Kathleen Turner, I thought she was one of the best performances we ever had.
She's a wonderful, wonderful actress. And, I always say this, it sounds endless, but, it's so much fun to get these great actors to do the show. And we had an amazing year, particularly with actors this year. It was, Michelle Pfeiffer and Meryl Streep and Kathleen Turner and Bancroft. It was just an amazing time. Kathleen came in. We did this about 9 in the morning, and she just looked great. She was completely game and nailed this stuff really, really fast. She was so much fun to direct.
She has your name. You have a responsibility.
I actually heard just John Cleese talking about this for Shrek 2 the other day and puts it the same exact way I do. When you're directing the actors, as opposed to doing a lot of live-action directing, which I also do, you're not rushed. There's time to play, and the actors feel that too.
Absolutely.
And you can sort of roll tape all the time and go in and out and really talk to each other. It's not that there's 150 people waiting around on the
it's
set.
It's just tape, and you can do as many takes and try it as many ways as you want.
It's not expensive comparatively to do this. So these actors really get into it. Myself as a director really gets into experimenting and playing and getting it exactly right. And even though we do it a lot faster than you do a movie, because they don't have to get all dressed up and we don't have to change camera angles and relight things all the time, you're able to get a lot more done in a lot less time. So it feels like a lot of time is spent. And it's always fun. I love this.
Look at the diamond. I'm going to bite you.
This is a great bit of animation.
And it's continuing the history of Grandpa's teeth getting in trouble. I love Dan's performance here as Grandpa, especially when he goes, I'm going to bite you. It's terrific.
It's really, really great.
Astonishingly good.
And it's great when the actors loosen up like that. And again, David and his animators just completely, you know, take what the essence is of the voice and put it in front of your face.
Really great job that Jeff did of the lighting. Just the way he composed her, staring off.
Stacy, please, I must have you back. Just come for a ride with me in my mobile command unit.
Joe, I told you, it's over. Release me from your kung fu grip.
Fine.
Joe still has his neck seam, you'll see.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll bomb your house into the ground. Of course, luckily that never happens, or we don't see it. That's, again, a great reading by Hank, where you just hear the insanity in G.I. Joe's voice.
How about me?
Now, we were actually calling him G.I. Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, did we say Joe? I don't know, only to
maybe, I guess. It's all legal. That's all I can say. He can't sue us.
Put it that way. This is a great Krusty.
It's a great Krusty sync that's coming up.
I choose to get married.
Again, that Dan Castellaneta is Krusty the Clown.
Other talking dollies to record today.
This is really well done, the way he throws this away.
Hey, kids, I'm talking Krusty. Hey, here comes Slide Chomel. Again, here comes Slide Chomel. Three.
Again.
We actually had a Talking Krusty doll in the works that did all these.
And look, the guy has not even gotten the tape up. So it looks like Krusty knows what he's doing, and of course he knows nothing. He hasn't achieved anything.
The sound effect is great of the car pulling away.
Yes, it squeals off.
It was really funny, this Krusty doll that we did, which again never came out, but I'm flame retardant, and it had all that.
And it never came out? That'd be fantastic.
I know, it would be really good. Maybe
we finally
they did
have a
later,
decent
but,
product. Come on.
What?
No, we got to do that. Absolutely. You have to do that. This is a great sequence written by Bill and Josh where Bart's trying to get some attention. And again, you know, it's written really well, but then the animation comes in and throws it over the top as well. It's just how well that's done.
It's just jumping around.
It's amazing that we wrote that before we had kids, because that's how kids actually
they're just like it.
And again, a great performance by Nancy Cartwright, who is able to inhabit the soul of a 10-year-old boy like no one else.
I like that I didn't tell them who you were.
That's a great freeze frame sign, by the way.
It's time to call in a favor from Washington.
This is a good example of what Washington, sometimes what Washington does when they really think they're going to accomplish something.
I think that's supposed to be G.D. Spradlin. For those of you who like G.D. Spradlin, you may recall that voice, that I think that's Hank doing that, sounds exactly like G.D. Spradlin. I know nobody cares, but I love G.D. Spradlin.
I love the design of Ken Brockman's daughter. It's great.
It's great, and that again is Nancy Cartwright doing the voice.
I think that was her first appearance, too.
I think it was.
Maybe her only other appearance was that time she was asking for the abalone sandwich in the country club show.
I love what a good nag she is. Talk about the dolly. And it turns out she was right.
Spend 28 minutes reporting on a dog.
He spent 28 minutes talking. Pretty much, again, the rules of the sentence, everyone is an idiot. And the more authority they have and the more power they have, the bigger the idiot they are. It's just like real life.
Do not turn to another.
Yeah, he ignored the thing that the president was wanted for murder. That was the story he did not report.
Well, that was kind of brushed up by a lot of news sources.
Can we order Chinese food?
Yes. Very easily placated.
That was based on the excitement in a writer's room when we could order dinner.
Eggs are difficult to digest. I want soft-boiled eggs.
I told you.
This is a time where we established Molman as a very old man. And sometimes it's not exactly clear, but I guess he is very old, according to this.
Well, he sort of changes from time to time.
Yeah, I know. We're a little bit flexible with Molman.
But one time, I think it was at an AA meeting, and he said, "Alcohol has ruined my life. I'm only 28 years old."
That's right. So, it's a little bit flexible.
Yeah.
Fill it. And one more thing.
This is my favorite. The animation, how upset the squeaky-voiced teenager gets, which is the name of that character on the right. Look how upset he gets when he hears that he didn't wash his hands.
You may recall that in the early 90s, there was this ad campaign that McDonald's had where their big thing was that they were hiring old people. And I think that's what inspired this. Since it's gone by the boards.
We don't even give the old people their moment. Look what happens. We just
denigrate them. She has a hat.
This shows you our enthusiasm for the American consumer and our belief in the American consumer that they're easily, easily swayed.
Very, very easily swayed.
Got a new hat.
I love the
good
pause.
Timing there.
Yeah, it's great. Well, that's how elections are won and lost in this country, you know.
We don't want the listeners to feel down. We just want to encourage them to have a healthy sense of skepticism about the way things are.
That's right.
Much like Mad Magazine did when we were growing up.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, as Homer often says, the lesson is don't even try.
Wait, that's not what I meant.
A very good piece of advice for all of us.
Kudos to you, Lisa.
And that's a great reading by Kathleen. You notice that I picked a lot of the guest stars that were some of the hottest women on the planet in these seasons. I knew what I was doing.
Absolutely.
Our guest stars, interestingly, were Rodney Dangerfield, John Waters, Lawrence Tierney, guys like that.
Yeah. Another show where we ended with Homer playing the theme.
And I love the feedback sounds. It's always good.
But oddly enough, I didn't direct that episode where Homer plays the theme at the end of the show.
You didn't?
Not this one.
Oh, no.
But the other two I did, so...
Great job by Jeff Lynch.
Very, very
great
good.
Great job.
Well done.
Good. And really good sound effects by Travis Powers.
Travis Powers in all our shows makes these sound effects come alive. It's very difficult to get the right kind of sound effects that aren't too big and wacky and sound real, but also funny. Travis is a genius at that and has been a major, major contributor to this show forever.
Forever, since the beginning, since Tracy Ullman days.
The thing about the animation also is that you don't realize... there's no sound there at all. I mean, there's no birds in the background. There's no shoes walking across the floor. Every single sound has to be put in by Travis.
It has to be created. That's right, because all people are doing is standing in front of a microphone and talking. Everything else has to be added.
We should do sound effects on these commentaries.
Woo!
Yeah, like that.